stone, didn't they, that would help.
There we go. Good morning, everybody. Morning. What a chilly, chilly morning it is. I wonder if we can have some bits up in a minute, Donald. It's great to be with you. Please do continue to remember people in Ukraine. 40% of power and water is now knocked out in Kiev, as well as other major cities as well. And it's absolutely brutal, as you know what's going on out there. But especially at this time of year, it's causing a lot of heartache and a lot of problems for children, a lot of problems. So do continue to pray. I've got a couple of short videos if they're going to work. I can't remember what the first one is, Donald, but...
We've got Joy of Christmas, Phoebe.
Okay, I've got the Phoebe one first. Is that possible?
Throughout the Bible and church history, women have played a vital role in God's kingdom. One such woman was Phoebe, who served the church in Synchreae.
I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Synchreae. She has been a patron of many, and of myself as well.
Paul's commendation of Phoebe, in Romans 16, inspired SGA to launch the Phoebe Project. The aim of the Phoebe Project is to commend to you some remarkable women and the ministries they serve. Such as Boba Havrilova in Slovakia, who is a missionary to a Roma community. And Marina Tsapkova, who serves as a missionary to the Kharkiv people of Central Russia. Then there are significant ministries that are led by women. Examples are Preventis in Romania, working with teenage addicts. Grace Shelter in Ukraine, providing a home for orphan children. The Social Kitchen in Bulgaria, serving nourishing meals to Roma children and other needy people. And Hospice Emmanuel in Romania, providing end-of-life care for the terminally ill. As Paul encouraged the believers at Rome to support Phoebe, it is our desire that you will want to support these women and their ministries. They need prayer and financial support. For more information, please visit our website or contact your local Phoebe rep.
Just in case you don't know, I work for SGA. It's a great mission. I've been with them just over 10 years now. And it's very interesting and exciting to see what women are doing in different parts of the world. And I don't know if you can remember, there was a lady there called Marina Tsapsova who's working in Russia.
She's a very sweet
girl. She's very small, very petite. But as you can see, the place that she's working in is quite rough. So I think I'm making a bit of rustling noise here, aren't I? So at one stage you'll get told off for rustling, wouldn't you? There we go. SGA's also got a conference in aid of the Phoebe Project. I've got some leaflets here. That's going to be online in January, so that's worth logging into. It's a ladies' conference, but I'm sure us men could pick up a few things as well from ladies that are doing some amazing mission work. Well, we're nearly getting ready for Christmas, but what's Christmas going to be like in Eastern Europe and Central Asia at this time of year? Well, we've got a little project running, and hopefully that video will come up and explain it to you.
Thank you.
go. Well, SGA teams up with another organisation called Beeble Mission, because the project is so big, you can imagine getting all those parcels out right across Eastern Europe and into Central Asia. But did you notice all those boxes were exactly the same size? What I forgot to bring with me is one of those boxes, because when, as well as getting books and sweets and things, when you take the wrapping paper off, the box is like a nativity scene, little theatre, pop-up theatre. And there's Jesus and Mary and Joseph and angels and all sorts. And basically they act out the nativity story within that box, which turns into like a little portable cardboard theatre. It's absolutely fantastic. So you can imagine in some countries where Islam is quite serious, shall we say, it's really difficult to be a Christian. It's really difficult to tell the Christmas story in a way that you're not going to get into trouble. Well, what better way than giving kids a little theatre? Who's going to argue with that? And then the kids take it home and their parents say, oh, what's this? And there's like a list of instructions of what to do and what this story really, really means. So do pray for SGA and Beeble Mission and obviously that project. I mean, just last year, 2021, over 30,000 of these boxes were delivered. It's a little bit similar to like the shoe box project that some people do, apart from this is giving like a little theatre to people to do in the nativity story. Well, I wonder if, Donald, you could put the PowerPoint up for me. I'll just take this off. So I'm used to cold weather where I work, but it's colder in the UK than it is in places where I work, just because it's really, really damp, and I don't like the damp. Okay, let's see if I get my PowerPoint to work. There we go. Well, we're almost there, aren't we? I mean, how many weeks have we got left now? Is it 6 weeks? 2 weeks, is it? See, I completely lose track of time now that my kids have left the nest and married and gone on. It's just Iris, the dog, and me in no particular order. So our home is quite loose and rattles a little bit now. And so, you know, it's easy to lose track and you just sort of go out and do your busy things, but we're almost there. And what I find interesting about the Christmas story is that this part of the Christmas story is often neglected. It all starts because of a census. Well, it starts in the Old Testament, really, doesn't it? The birth of Christ, as the prophets foretold that Bethlehem would be the place. But I find it interesting that there's a political agenda going on in the world to try and sort out whether Rome can have enough money coming in to pay for its military, to pay for its campaigns into Europe and beyond, and to find out who's a fighting age, and to make sure everybody is allocated their positions in society and who's doing what. It's like Big Brother is watching you kind of thing. And in Luke 2, verses 1 to 7, I'll just read the first little bit. It says, now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a censor should be taken of all the inhabited earth. So the first Christmas that ever existed is based because of a census going on. And that got me thinking, because there's another census, or there's been a census result come forward in the last few days, hasn't there? And Christianity's had a real bashing over that. I don't know if you've been reading the news. And the results of the 2021 census, it feels a bit hot, doesn't it? For England, Wales, that's not including Scotland and Northern Ireland, which asked the question, what is your religion? Show that Christianity is the largest religion, followed by Islam, Hinduism, Sikhism, Judaism, Buddhism, other isms. And it went on, and actually, if you look at the results, Christianity is not a minority religion. As much as some newspapers who are supposed to be the guardian of society, but I didn't tell you which paper that was, quickly came out with the fact that maybe school assemblies should be banned now because of Christianity being a minority religion. Maybe the church needs to be disengaged from state. And there are a whole load of other things which the secularists and the atheists and those who don't like God we're trying to suppress the work of God and saying, you know, this census proves that Christianity is a minority religion. And from what I picked up from other church leaders and other Christians in the UK is, oh, we're in a really depressing state. Well, some of it is a pretty depressing state, but let's just have a look at the results of the 2021 census. You see, Church of England has slipped down a little bit, and there are reasons for that. Then you've got the Roman Catholic Church, other Christian denominations, and then all the others. People were making a real trumpet blow that Islam is growing, where it's only grown a couple of points of a percent, and that's due to birth rate, not due to conversion. And the true picture of Christianity, now that's whether or not people actually are true followers of God, we don't know, only God knows that. But the true percentage is actually 65.3%, which goes to show the media tells us a lot of lies, doesn't it? And it's very easy for us to look at what the media portrays and think, oh, Christianity is doomed. And just to take that on board and say, oh, well, you know, that's it. We might as well pack up our bags and go off to glory and be with the Lord. Well, just a minute. Let's remember that the world lies to us when it comes to the things of God. The world cannot be trusted with the things of God. If we neglect the word of God, that's when we start getting issues. So some churches have gone wrong. It's interesting. One particular denomination, I won't tell you what it is, but it's really wound me up, has produced a short video saying, everybody's welcome this Christmas because she is here. What? She is here? And it talks about the birth of Christ and announces that she is here. No wonder that particular denomination is going downhill. But here's the thing, if you don't accept God's word, you fall apart. When you change God's word, you fall apart. And what we notice, and what I notice as a missiologist and visiting churches right across the UK every year with the work that I do, is those that love God's word, the lights are still on. Really, really interesting. Those who start changing God's word or interpreting in ways that they think becomes valid in this woke society, they're actually perishing and collapsing. But those who love God's word, well, interesting, isn't it? So we can't trust what's going on. It's not just me that's collapsing the census as well. There are other people who don't believe in God are looking at the census and thinking, well, actually, some of this has been interpreted wrong. So I wonder whose agenda it is. But let's go back to the Christmas story. When Jesus arrived as a baby on that first census, there was plenty of truth decay. Not just tooth decay. Let's put this up, because I'm knocking it somewhere, aren't I? There we go. But unfortunately, truth decay has got and grown within the rest of the world. It's interesting that since that census results of... Are you crackling or something else crackling? It's me, is it? Don't know. There we go. I'll try and keep still, shall I? There we go. What if Jesus never came? What if Rome didn't have a census? And all the problems and all the heartache that caused for people to have to go to the place where they were born. I mean, if we had a strict census in the UK, like they had in Rome, I'd have to get off to New Zealand. And Iris would have to go to Cornwall. And I don't know where you would end up, but it would cause a lot of heartache, wouldn't it? But just supposing Christmas never happened. This beautiful scene of Jesus, God became man. And we mustn't forget that at this time of year. It's lovely to have communion with you this morning, but we must never forget that God became one of us. John's Gospel says that the Word became flesh and lived with us. That's an incredible mystery, isn't it? There was one poet in the first century, just before Paul's time, and he writes this poem, and he says, oh, if the gods are so great and so fantastic, and he's looking at the Roman gods, why don't they come down here and experience the pain and the suffering and the hatred and the harm and the brutality that we have to face on a daily basis? Why are they so cast away? And you could say, well, actually, the Son of God did come down. And in all the mysteries that are going on, let's remember that God became flesh. But there are some in society today who are taking the wrong approach to that census and saying, well, let's just get rid of Christmas and call it Winter Mass. And what we notice is this general erosion of let's just keep Christ out of the picture. And instead of, you know, and some people are even using the excuse, well, Christmas is based on a pagan event anyway, so let's just get rid of it. Well, actually, when the first missionaries came to the UK, they saw that Britain was a very pagan society and they used certain dates but Christianized them in order to draw people away from their pagan events. So yes, certainly December the 25th is probably not Jesus' birthday, but it was a pagan issue that was going on at that time, and Christianity rescued the people of the UK and made it into Christmas, and focusing their attention on the Son of God rather than the spirits of the earth. So let's delete Christmas and call it Winter Mass. Imagine no Christmas, no Christ. Would that actually be a problem if we stopped having Christmas and we went along with society and said, well, let's get rid of a Christmas tree, let's just have parties? We need to ask the question, first of all, though, before we even start ever thinking along those lines, what has happened since that first Christmas? Because since that first Christmas, Jesus Christ, even as a baby, completely changed the course of direction the world was heading in. I don't know if you ever thought about it in that way. Because Jesus was born, because God became flesh, all of the world has totally changed direction. Five short things why the birth of Christ changed society. First of all, true Christmas is a place of image. And if we look at the world today, so many people, I don't know if you can read those results, but this is a census, but this was a survey that went out not long ago. And it said that 54% of people take their image and their likeness from their friends. 50% from their family, colleagues at work, from their partner. 22% of people, and this is just in the UK, take their whole image of themselves from celebrities and influencers. I came off Facebook probably about 6 years ago, and I'm still alive. Shocking, isn't it, to know, isn't it, that you can actually disengage yourself from social media and you can still live and have a life. And one of the reasons why I came off, because I looked at some people's profiles and I'll think, that's just an image that you're trying to portray of yourself. But can you imagine if Christ was not born, what image we could end up with? And what we're looking at in society today in Western Europe is this whole destruction of people made in the image of God. It's no wonder people aren't satisfied with themselves. And you get some really weird stuff going on in the world now. And I know it's not politically correct, but I don't understand some men who don't dress up in skirts and stuff, but they'll still have fingernail polish on. And I kind of think, you know, what image have people got in this messed up world? But since Jesus Christ, God became flesh, our image comes from God's word. God made man and woman in his image. Psalm 139 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that interesting? We destroy Christmas, we destroy the image of who we really are. And we kind of get lost in society. And I find it very interesting, both in America and in the Western world, that image has become such an issue. It's become such an issue when people neglect God and his word. It's interesting, I won't tell you where some churches are growing, but obviously Africa, China, other places right around the world. But it's where they're getting this sense of a correct image of who they are in the likeness of God. Secondly, true Christmas is a place... wasn't born, had been influenced. Sounds like Scrooge going back into Christmas past and all the rest, doesn't it? But sometimes it does us good as we're getting Christmas. What if Christ had not come? If Christ has said to God, I don't want to go down to that world, it's such a mess. It's such a brutal, violent mess. Well, let's have a little think. Since that first Christmas, ordinary Christians have done extraordinary things. Since the first century, they've looked after widows, orphans, supported families, supported the poor, involved in local government. Erastus, the city treasurer of Corinth, as you see in the book of Corinthians. They've worked for peace, worked for workers' rights, worked for work, for resources and the environment. William Tyndale, so concerned that the word of God would be available to the ordinary people, even for the boy who ploughs the field, he said, let his eyes rest upon God's word that he saved. And he fought and translated for the first time a Bible that would be readable. And this is before the King James Bible, which was based on Tyndale's work. If that first Christmas had never happened, we wouldn't have the word of God this morning. And the UK would be totally lost. Totally lost. In fact, William Tyndale paid for his life. And as he's being burnt at the stake, and this is in the UK, he said, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. Well, God heard his prayers. But can you begin to see the difference already that if Christ had not become flesh, see, it's more about a Christmas tree and all the festivities. That first nativity scene where Christ was just so vulnerable in flesh changed the world. Robert Raikes, I'm sure you've heard of Robert Raikes, but if you haven't, he started a Sunday school movement. And would go around to people's houses and say, would you just let your children come to school on Sunday? Because they don't have to work in the afternoon. It was one of the few times when children didn't have to work. Remember, this is in the UK. And for some families, it took a lot of persuading to let their children off because the children would earn money to keep the family going. And Robert Raikes would teach them English, writing, songs, taught them about the Lord. And that's where we get the word Sunday school from. All because of that nativity scene. And then as things developed many years later, the whole British education system is based on his early works. It's astonishing, isn't it? Because of that first Christmas. So if we suddenly do away with Christmas, what will the future look like? William Wilberforce, we're living in such a woke society that doesn't actually pay any attention to what history has done, or even what Christians have done. And we already know the story of William Wilberforce, who paid such a high price, mentally and physically, to pass the abolition of slavery and get the Slavery Act put in place. Imagine then that, you know, if Christ had not become flesh, where would the world be today? It would be a horrific place. Or John Newton wrote the song Amazing Grace. You know, it's interesting that that song is sung at so many funerals when people don't even believe in God. And yet it's touched so many lives for hundreds of years. It's such a well-known song. And yet if we did not have the birth of Christ, we would not have Amazing Grace. Thomas Cook. This is a bit of an unknown one. They've changed his name to Tui now, haven't they? Which is a bit of a shame because during the 1860s, Thomas Cook, who was a strong believer, thought we need to get children out into the countryside, out of the city, so they can have a break for a few hours and get some fresh air. And Thomas Cook travel was born out of that, and eventually overseas trips and things like that. And God prospered Thomas Cook in its early days because he trusted in God. And his whole heart was giving people fresh air, getting them out of the cities and things like that. So again, no Christmas. Interesting, isn't it? Samuel Morse, again, another believer in the Lord. How many people's lives have been saved through Morse code? A simple thing, and you think, well, this isn't very biblical. Actually, it's very, very biblical because Christ changed society. The moment that Jesus was born, the whole world was set on a different to be different. James Naismith, anybody heard of James Naismith? The founder of basketball, just absolutely incredible. He was looking after some boys, a really good preacher, and he was allowed to use a little plot of land in the city. It was a bit rough, it was just like a concreted area. And he got some orange baskets and made up a game and called it basketball. Absolutely fascinating. How many people have been blessed and taken off the streets and come to the Lord through sport? No nativity, no salvation. Bill Bowman. Anybody heard of Bill Bowman? This is a one. Founder of Nike, as it was. Bill Bowman, back in the late 50s and 60s, was one of the greatest coaches for athletes, so great that there's even a statue of him outside a university in America. So many athletes got to the Olympic Games with him, and he would train his athletes and read scripture to them and say, run the race with endurance, and he would use all sorts of scripture. He even developed running shoes that would protect the knee and things like that, and then called those running shoes Nike, after we are more than conquerors, because Nike means victorious or conqueror, as in the New Testament. And so that passage of scripture, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And he would reaffirm that to each of his athletes and say, run for Christ, not for yourself. And so Nike came out of that. Well, Nike's lost its marbles since Bill Bowman died. But again, no Christmas, such a change in society. C.S. Lewis, well, we know about C.S. Lewis. Again, no Christmas. How many people's minds have really been directed onto the things of God through that man's life? Pastor Wright had two sons. Can't remember their names. I think one was called Orville. I can't remember the other one's name. Wilbur and Orville. There we go. But Pastor Wright was an interesting guy. And one of his sermons, he comes out and he says, if God had meant flight for mankind, he would have given them wings, but God has left flight for the birds and the angels. Little did he know that his two boys who loved listening to the song would grow up and change the direction of all of that. William Lear, one of my favourites, won't bore you with this too much. Bill Lear, the Learjet Corporation, absolutely fantastic. Whenever they had a problem, he would get his planners together and they would pray over the matter and just wait upon the Lord until the issue was solved. Royal Institute of Naval Architects, I'm a member of this because I trained as a naval architect years and years ago. It's interesting that this was started by church leaders in the 1800s because they wanted to push forward safety in ships and to build better ships and stronger ships. And skills of ordinary people to putting ships together, and so it became a world-recognized institution. And even today, in their journals that they produce, usually on the back page, it talks about how much they need to support the seamen's mission and other things like that. It's a really interesting thing. Again, no nativity, safety at sea. See how just that census, which was really negative, Christ came out of that, and the whole world was changed. Professor John Lennox, he's just an amazing guy. If you ever watch him on I'm a bit slow, sort of like wooden-headed, but John Lennox is one of the best mathematicians we've got in the UK. So many other institutions since the birth of Christ has come into place. Trussell Trust, I mean, that's an interesting one. You see this talked in and other places, and food banks and things. Well, who started that? A group of Christians. So if we take away Christmas, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Ukraine conflict. It's interesting that Christians in the UK have supported Ukraine more than one particular European government, especially in regard to generators. SGA has been able to send out a lot of money recently to get generators put into churches and other places. Again, you take away the nativity scene and you'll lose everything. And you, well, you can put your name there somewhere. How has that nativity scene changed your life? The whole fact that God became one of us and dwelt with us and experienced all the difficulty that we face. Thirdly, true Christmas is a place of reality. They say that churches are closing down and dying. Well, that's not what I see. I was at this church back in April for their opening service because they, during lockdown, interesting, they'd outgrown their old building, so they got it knocked down and built a new one. And it's a massive complex. And this isn't just a one-off. I've been in many churches where God is just seemingly doing something. So Christianity is a place of reality. Why? Because God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You wove me together in my mother's womb. No mistakes are made. We know that in everything, God works for good. Because of that first Christmas, there's one little bit of reality in the world, and that's the church. But ultimately, that beautiful, tender-looking nativity scene has to point us to the cross. That is our destination for the life of Christ, that ultimately he was born to die. I don't know many babies that were born for the sole reason that they would be sacrificed. Even before they were born, the whole life was planned, leading up to the point where they would be sacrificed. True Christmas is a place of responsibility. Why do I say that? Because of the work of Christ in each one of our lives. It's interesting that the Bible says this. I urge you then, first of all, that all petitions, prayers, intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So since that first Christmas, Christians have emerged from that, and churches obviously have emerged from that, but it's become a place of responsibility because God's word commands us to pray for those in the world who don't yet know him. How many of you ever thought about praying for Russia? I know it's not on the top of my prayer list at the moment, but I should be. Because if we pray for Russia and there's a genuine move of God in Russia, we will have peace in Europe. How many of us have prayed for the Russian ambassador to the UK? He's got a bit of a headache at the moment. Or just our local government. Or school governors and things like that. Because of that first Christmas, God commands us to take responsibility to pray for those who are above us. It doesn't say that they're believers, but it says that we should pray for the king. Interesting, we've got a king now. It's a place of responsibility. True Christmas has a future because it always points us to the cross. I know you know this passage so well, but can you imagine if there was no Christmas, then God could not show his love. He could not show his mercy. So to do away with Christmas, as some secularists are wanting to do, and call it Winter Mass, would be an absolute disaster and bring chaos to the world. Why? Because when I come to the cross, my past is dealt with, my present is blessed, and my future
is secure. And that's what I'm beginning to see when I look at the nativity scene afresh, is because of that census that caused so much chaos in the world, that Christ was born. And because he is born, my past life is dealt with, my present is blessed, and my future is secure. Yet there'll be still some in the world to say, oh, that's a load of rubbish. What we really need is more money. People have been saying this for the last 200 years. We need more money. Well, if we need more money, God would have sent a banker. We need more military. The world is such an unsafe place. Well, God would send a general. We need more education. We need better education. Well, God would send a professor. We need more entertaining. Well, God sent Boris Johnson. No, he didn't. God would send a clown. We need more. So the five needs of mankind according to the world today. And yet, we are full of hate and sin, and death is before us. So God sent a Saviour. Galatians 4 verse 4 said, when the fullness of time, the correct time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. And all of this was around a Roman census that caused so much chaos, so much frustration, so much bewilderment for everybody. Because the world was in such a mess. Even historians of the time, they write of this particular period and they say, children aren't obeying their parents. What will I do when I get older? Who's going to look after me? I think it was Suetonius went on to say that divorce was the greatest evil of the age because of the harm and the pain and the suffering that it causes. So all the problems in the first century that Jesus was born into, it was not a perfect world. It was unstable in so many, many ways, just like today's world. I wonder what God will do for us as we refocus on that nativity scene and as we find our place next to him in that nativity scene and remind ourselves that if we delete Christ, if we delete Christmas, we end up in a world that is just so chaotic and so barbaric. And we can see that in the West, where the West is trying to reject God and bring in all sorts of alternative lifestyles, we see chaos. But for those of us who keep trusting in the Lord and following his way, God says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5 verse 16. We don't work to earn our salvation, that's been done. The birth of Christ proves that. But out of joy, out of a grateful heart, we come to the Lord and say, Lord, use me this Christmas time. Help me not to delete the birth of Christ, because it seems to be politically incorrect these days to talk about Christ, to talk about sin, to talk about change in people's lives, to talk about the cross. Help me to live in the reality of that moment. Because the moment Jesus was born, the whole of the UK society was changed. The world was changed. I could show you many, many other examples going back through history where the world changed because of that one. It's interesting that our calendar, our yearly calendar is all based on that one event. As a reminder to everybody, it happened. God was with us. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Lord, we live in a wicked world, but you were born into a wicked world. And as we gaze afresh upon that nativity scene, help us see the wonder, the marvel, the changes that are possible in society when they come to you. Help us not to get so sentimental that we just stay around the nativity scene, but we walk forward to the cross. See the price that you paid for Europe, for Britain, for Russia, for the world. And may we have joyful hearts to celebrate that you became one of us. Help us to be strong in our faith and in our witness that we won't delete you because you seem to be politically incorrect. Help us to stand up in this woke world and say, Jesus brings change, eternal change. In Jesus' name, I ask. Amen. Over to you, Tom.